Holy shit. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
It's been a solid month.
Okay, in our defense, we tried to film last week. Okay, so for those of you watching the visual YouTube podcast, we moved.
There's a change. There's a little bit of something new.
You might notice that our set does not look the same. You might notice that there are boxes and no couch and behind us.
Piles of clothes on the floor.
Yeah.
Don't be judgmental. We're going through something.
Yeah, I just moved into my own place and we're working out some kinks. We tried to film last week. Madison was in Ibiza.
Then Madison got COVID. Then Madison had a migraine.
And then we tried to film.
Then Madison shit her pants. Like, when does it end?
she's back, though.
Hey, baddies. And she's good better, to see you.
She's better than ever.
And the new studio, it's a vibe. I mean, we're working on our setup. You know, it's going to be a work in progress. She's going to get a couch. We're going to get things the way that they need to be. But we're back. We're back on our consistent train.
Yeah.
And we did try and film last week.
It was an absolute disaster.
A little bit of a fucking fail.
Do we want to talk about why?
So we get a lot of feedback, right? And feedback is good. Good feedback, bad feedback. Like, we're here for the criticism.
And we listen to, like, what our viewers are saying because you guys are the only reason we do this.
Literally why we're here, so that you listen.
To make sure you guys are satisfied with what we're talking about.
So we had gotten a couple of comments on our last podcast that was like, kind of sick of the relationship podcasts. And like, sounds like you guys are complaining.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
First off, you don't have to be mean.
Yeah. Like, and by the way, I was fucking complaining.
Like, rightfully so.
Like, I was complaining, but it was a story time pod. And
which we don't normally do either. It's not like we do that every week.
And you know what? I'm sure that there were like majority of people that were listening probably liked it, but the few stragglers and then the people that were saying they were sick of the relationship pods, we had been so out of sync in that moment when that happened because our consistency and our vibe and just everything was thrown off because summer had been so chaotic. We had been traveling so much that we read that and we were like, holy shit.
We need to switch something up.
We need to pivot because we're boring people.
So we filmed
a whole lot of nothing.
Literally, we're like, dup. Yeah. We watched it back. We're like, we're not fucking posting that.
No, we trashed the whole episode. Spent like 2 hours filming, maybe longer because we restarted. We just weren't in sync.
But, you know, we stand by the fact that we would rather put out no content than shit content.
Absolutely.
We're not just going to sit here and talk about nothing. And we had a conversation like, we could pivot. We could talk about finances, politics. You know, there's a million other topics that we are intelligent enough to speak on, but like, that's not why you're here.
Yeah.
There's other people that cover that.
Yeah. And it's not like the only thing we speak on is relationships. I feel like that became a little bit of a theme for this podcast, as it will continue to be, because A, that's how we built our following. That's a lot of our viewers are here because of that content. B, it's relatable to not only you guys, but to us as well. We have a lot of knowledge and experience in that area, but we also goof and gaff and have like a good silly ass time. And we talk about other things too. And we just let it get to our heads and we let it affect the quality of our podcast, which we just decided this week, like, that's ridiculous.
We're not going to do that. And in reality, it's not like we're just sitting here talking about relationships. We did a one relationship story time pod, which I think there was some really good information in, but we talk about manifestation and dreams and going for things that you care about and how to be a better partner.
Like life advice, friendship advice. Like, there's so much that encompasses. We do goofy, silly shit, friendship shit. And
if you got a fucking problem, don't fucking listen.
And it's funny because we have this like shared notes app in our phones where we just jot down ideas or topics that we want to discuss when we're not together, like throughout the week and stuff. We just like sparingly insert things as we go. And I didn't look at it before the last podcast because I was just like, oh my God, it's all relationship stuff.
We're going to pivot.
Yeah. So then we go look through it today and I was like, wait, three of these really good topics.
Solid.
Not relationship related. Anyways, now we're just.
We're back. We're here. We're going to be consistent again. We're in our new studio. We have a new sense of life about us. We're excited.
I live 3 minutes away from Madison
now. So nice. I can guzzle a whole bottle of wine and walk my happy ass home. We're back, baddies. We're going to jump right in.
Let's get right to business.
What's business?
That's a great question.
So on the topic of things that are for our viewers, things that are for the girls only.
This topic is so easy for me because there are so many things throughout life where I'm like, that is for the girls.
For the girls.
Things that are for the girls only. Making TikToks.
For sure.
I mean, and I'm not just talking about the like dancing TikToks, because obviously that's for nobody. But if it's for anyone, it's for the girls. But like, if you're sitting down, if you're propping your phone up to tell like a story on TikTok, I'm so sorry. I sound like such a hater. That is for the girls.
It's for the girls. So, I'm like, cringing. If it's a guy, I'm fucking cringing.
I'm cringing. Like, who are you telling the story to? What is your goal?
Trying to pick up chicks.
Yeah.
For the girls only, tailgating. Like, if you're tailgating and you're a grown man, you have an anger management problem. Like, go talk to somebody. Take a driving class. If you're a girl tailgating, like, you're just trying to get to your destination. Like, somebody's driving.
Oh, you mean like tailgating, like...
driving... yeah, like driving...
I thought you meant like at like a football game.
Like a football game? Why would that be for the girls? That's for the guys.
Madison, I also had that question.
No, like tailgating behind a car.
Is that called tailgating?
Yeah.
I thought that was called riding someone's ass.
Well, that's the less fucking serious term. That's the non-scientific term, but like...
okay.
Tailgating in your driver's test.
So road rage.
Road rage.
Like road rage is for the girls.
Sir, go see a therapist. If I'm a girl doing it, you're driving too slow. I have somewhere to be. Like,
or I'm just a girl.
I'm just a tiny.
Like, you're the man. You should know how to drive. Fucking go around me.
I'm 2 inches off someone's bumper. I'm like, I'm just a girl.
Yeah. Like, I have somewhere to be. You're a man.
I cause a 30 car pileup. Like, I'm just a girl.
You're literally just
a girl.
It's
not for the guys.
You're just a girl. If I see a man taking a selfie of any sort, ever.
You're done.
In your life.
I'm throwing your phone in the dumpster.
Those are for the girls. They are for the girls. What are you taking a selfie for?
Who are you sending it to?
Why are you posting this on your Instagram story? Why? I don't care if it's a mirror selfie. I don't care if it's a fucking selfie selfie.
If it's a mirror selfie, it's even worse. A mirror selfie?
That is where the men thrive.
With the duck face? I cannot.
Duck face?
Have you ever seen a guy posting a mirror selfie and he's...
I would probably throw my phone into a lake if I ever saw
straight
that.
Straight imprisonment.
That's
for the girls.
Insane.
Only for the girls, Stanley cups with like the rubber plastic straw.
The straw?
And they're like colorful.
If I ever saw a dude walking down the street
with his rubber straw Stanley cup,
I would have to trip him
and steal his Stanley
and then rob him.
Jesus, Allie, it's I'm just a cup.
You're telling me that if you saw...
he pucker up his lips.
Your lipstick just went in my mouth. If you saw a man walking with one of these and he took a sip out of it...
I think I will.
You wouldn't want to just rob him?
I'd trip him first for sure. Yeah, it's for the fucking girls, please.
So we discussed this one earlier. Backward smiley faces. I'm cool if you want to send an emoji here or there. That's cool. I prefer it. I'm a millennial, I guess, because I like emojis. Backward smiley faces are for middle schoolers or girls.
Or no one. If I saw a backward smiley face, like in this day and age, I would just be confused.
I've met a few men in my time that send the backwards smiley face. That is for the fucking girls. That is a girly ass fucking smiley face. What are you, a girl?
My girl, if you see a backward smiley face, block him. Leave him blocked.
Run, rob him. I don't know.
Rob him? Why are we robbing them so much?
I don't know. I just think it's funny. Not to rob them, just to talk about robbing them. I would never actually rob anybody.
No.
So this one might be controversial. Burning your tongue. Don't
not
you dare eat that soup and go.
It is not fucking allowed.
I don't want to see any man with his teeth.
I want to see pure stoic face when you burn your fucking tongue. I don't even want to know
that
it happened.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know about it.
Burning your tongue for the girls. And this is also controversial, but like if he's a plant guy, if you walk into his house and there's plants everywhere.
Oh, someone cooked here.
Somebody cooked. Somebody was there before you.
Here's the thing. I love a plant guy, but if I walk in and I see too many fucking plants, someone cooked here.
You walk in, there's three very healthy golden pothos, a fiddle leaf fig in the corner. Everything's thriving.
I'm on Stara on his desk.
He has a spritzer.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And the final thing that is for the girls is getting wine drunk. Like if you're getting wine drunk in the bathtub and you're a man.
It's so sad because, like, the luxuries in life that men just shouldn't be able to experience.
They don't get to enjoy. Like, this is for me, not for you. It was never for you.
If I was talking to a guy and I'm like, what are you doing? And he told me that he was sipping on
Chardonnay in the bathtub.
Wait, even worse, let me just one-up you. Things that are for the girls, white wine.
Oh, can you imagine a man, you're texting, like, it's a new relationship. You're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just drinking a nice Sauvignon Blanc in the tub. Sir, no the fuck you're not.
But you know what? You guys get to just whip your little willy out and go pee whenever, wherever you want. We get to have things too.
There's some things that are for us.
Wine in the bath, that's for us. You cannot have it.
Not for you. And can we talk about a good old-fashioned wine drunk? Like, being wine drunk is my favorite, but holy shit, do I get fucking feisty.
Dude, I had a moment the other night. I just moved, okay? I have this new wine cellar, like, cabinet thing, and I'm looking at it. It's empty. And I'm like, I need to fill this. So I go to the store. Amongst a million other things I need to be spending my money on right now to furnish
wine
my house.
Immediately.
I can't look at this empty wine cellar for one more second. So I buy 3 bottles of wine.
They're all gone. I look over, the cellar's empty.
They're gone. Okay. I have really indulged. It's fine. I'm not going to do that anymore. Maybe. But regardless, that's not the point of this
conversation. I looked over at the wine cellar. Like, they're gone. It's
there's
empty.
Literally 3 more bottles on
three
the counter.
3 freshies on the counter.
Okay. Not the point. The point is I'm drinking a couple glasses of wine one night, and I'm talking to this guy, and I start to feel myself getting upset, wanting to pry, wanting to ask questions that I know are going to cause a problem.
Yeah.
They don't have any ill intent behind these questions. Like, these questions genuinely come from a good place of curiosity and concern and whatever the fuck else is going on in my mind.
But, like, the fire comes from the wine.
But I know that I'm only wanting to ask these questions because I've had 6 glasses of wine. I had this really mature thought. Wait until you're sober. If you still want to ask these questions, then you can ask these questions. And I was telling myself, do not have an argument with somebody if you've been drinking. Because whether we like to think that our emotions in those moments are real or not, they are 1000% intensified with alcohol. And there's never a resolution that you can come to when you're in that state of mind, because nothing anyone says or does in those moments is going to satisfy that feeling or that thought. That fire that initiated this response to something or this anger or whatever the case may be. If you are still mad when you're sober about this thing, discuss it then. I guarantee you, probably like, I'll be generous with 8 times out of 10.
At least. You don't give a fuck the next day.
You don't care.
Yeah.
The next day. And you would have wasted your time, their time.
Ruined
everyone's night would be ruined. All because you're drunk and you're upset and you're emotional, and alcohol clouds feelings and brings things to the surface that really don't matter.
No, because there's no rationale when you're drinking. Yeah. There's your emotions. There's no cap. Even if there's like a perfectly real solution put in front of you, it's not gonna help.
Yeah.
And they say that sober thoughts are drunk words, but like, I cannot disagree with that more, because some of the shit that I have said when I am hammered, I mean, I will straight up tell a lie.
No, wait.
Like, a lie.
One time, dude, I was dating a guy and I was like, I don't even know if I should say like the specifics, but basically I took like a pill one night and I had never taken this pill. It was like an anxiety pill. If anyone's catching the drift that you're supposed to be prescribed, it basically makes you 100% blackout.
It's a Xanax.
Yeah. Okay. I took this pill and I told the guy I was dating that I cheated on him with some random person, and on my life, on everything I love, I don't even know where that came from.
Like, why was that thought even brought?
Like, why the fuck would I say that?
And some people.
And so, of course, he's like, well, you told me this.
You're the one who fucking said it.
And I'm like, I don't know why the fuck I said that.
Some people would be like, that thought, you must have wanted to hook up with that guy, or that thought occurred somewhere.
No,
I literally have said things like, I'm training to be an astronaut. Like, with my fucking chest. Like, told people at a party that I, like, graduated from Harvard. Like, these things are not real. They're not thoughts. They're not desires. It's just blacked out blabbering. I truly stand by the fact that drunk words are not your true thoughts, because every fight or every argument that I've gotten in when I was drunk was not something that I actually cared about or was mad about. And it's something that I blew out of proportion, or my partner blew out of proportion, because we were not in our state of mind. Just don't do it. And I actually have a funny story about this because I used to be like Mrs. Drunk Arguer. Like that was my MO. I feel bad for my boyfriend. Actually, he's my fiance now. Wow, that's weird. We had just started dating. I think we were like in our first month. Actually, we were in our first couple weeks of dating because for Christmas, he had brought me a bottle of Rumpelmans, which if you don't know what Rumpelmans is, fucking look it up. I don't know what to tell you.
It's like a minty. Like,
it's 100 proof. Yeah. It tastes like toothpaste. Yeah. It's not that strong. Drink 3 shots of it and you're donezo. So he brought me a bottle and a bouquet of roses for Christmas and I drank it. I don't think he's expecting me to like just start drinking it.
He didn't know you that well. No,
yeah. It was like very early on. I'm like drinking.
He thought that would last you through the next 2 years.
I'm like pulling from the Rumpies bottle. He's like, we're like at the house, just me and him. It was very casual. So 2 hours goes by of me pulling from the Rumpies bottle and I'm sitting on top of his chest, like with my foot on his shoulder. He's pinned to the couch and I'm looking into his eyes and I'm like, if I got pregnant, we're going to keep it, right? This man is 22 years old. He's been dating me for 3 weeks. I've been pinned with my Air Force Ones on. My shoes were still on the couch, telling him that if we got pregnant, we were keeping it. He was like,
at least you know he loves you for you.
If there was ever a reason for a man to sprint for the hills, that was it.
That would be the comment.
No, he just looked at me.
I think I've said less and they've ran.
So. No, like, I can't believe he, like, was endeared by that.
Yeah.
He looked up at me with these doe eyes and he's like, well, like, I don't really want a kid, but I guess, like...
He was just saying that because he knew he wasn't getting your ass pregnant.
Like, why are we? I'm on birth control. Why is this even a conversation? Why am I?
Because you want to feel like wanted. Like, you would. Like, I just had a similar situation where, like, potentially there was like a possibility for something. And I was like, obviously, I wouldn't want a baby right now, but I want you to want to have the baby with
you
me.
You
want to
have it, right?
Like, yeah. Not even on some toxic shit, but I was just like, you know, I don't know. I think it's a normal
thought. With like, womanhood where it's like, does this man want to have a family or provide in that way? Yeah, and it's like, it wasn't even like a provide, like, can he pay for it thing? It was like a, does he want to intertwine himself to me?
Right. Like, do you want to be connected to my genetics?
Forever. And in the man's favor, I did end up.
You did fucking tie that shit down.
I am going to have his babies.
Yeah.
But it was so out of pocket. And like, would I ever have done that? Not off of the Rumpelmans? No.
Well,
I woke up the next day. He was gone. I was like, oh shit, it's done.
He just left without saying goodbye.
So he had to go to work. So I texted him and I was like, you left without saying goodbye? And he was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. Like, I had to go to work. I just sent him like the thumbs up emoji. Cause I was like still drunk. Yeah. Obviously.
Being sassy.
I was a sassy, crazy bitch.
Still are. Was is crazy.
So long story short, be who you are. Let your crazy inner bitch flag fly.
Well, I feel like this conversation was about not arguing when you're drunk.
The bottom line is he didn't argue with me and that's why he got out of that situation alive.
For any of the men that listen to this podcast, let me just give you one word of advice. I know us women be talking crazy sometimes. We be emotional.
A lot of pocket.
We're feeling some type of way. You disagree. You want to argue. You ever heard the saying, happy wife, happy life? Well, they don't just fucking say that for shits and gigs. It's not some feminist bullshit. It's like women don't say what we mean. We say what we feel. So if you're arguing with your girl and she's not making any goddamn sense and you want to argue with her and make a logical point about why she's wrong, blah, 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 blah. Don't bother. She will cool her shit. If you just validate her emotions, don't take the content of what she's saying in a personal way or try to flip it into some type of logic. Obviously, men are more logical than women. We're more emotional than men. I deal with this shit daily because I'm a very emotional person. And recently I had this situation where I felt upset about something and I was trying to talk to the guy that I'm talking to about it. And I was trying to explain to him like why it bothered me, but I didn't even know. And I straight up told him, I just need a couple days to like process it, to figure out why it bothers me. All I know is that it bothers me.
Why the emotion is so strong. Absolutely.
And I feel like that is what we mean as women. When we say we're not saying what we mean, we're saying what we feel. Because when you're so emotional and when something triggers an emotional side of you, like there's got to be some scientific proof to this that you could probably look up.
I'm sure there is. Researched it.
But like when you're feeling heightened emotions, like the logical side of your brain is not currently functional. And the last thing women need to hear is the logical side of shit.
Like of why their emotions are not valid.
Or just in general, like we don't need you to lay the facts out for us.
Not right
then.
To
try to And I think like some guys maybe are trying to be helpful by being like, no, because this is the fact. We just need you to like, I hear you. That sucks. I love you. Give me a kiss.
Well, and some guys are going to be like, that's bullshit. Like, why should I just have to take your shit?
You know what? I feel like me, at least as a woman and a partner, that's how I am when my partner is feeling upset.
When they're venting about something or they're feeling something.
I hear you. Absolutely. I'm sorry. Like, how can I help? Here's something that maybe you could do to help yourself. But it's never like trying to make logic of your emotions.
And that's the thing is like, it's a man's innate reaction to provide a solution to a problem. So when a woman is being emotional and showing distress, instead of just listening and absorbing, they come at you with all these solutions and all these facts and all this logic. And it's like, sir, you just need to disengage for a minute. Let me feel what I'm feeling, because women are extremely intelligent creatures, more intelligent than men, I would say, in most situations. And
emotionally, at least, which I feel like is a lot of life.
We understand that our feelings do not always directly relate to what we're trying to say or what actually needs to happen. There's been many of times in arguments or emotionally charged situations where I know in the back of my mind that my emotions are maybe not, I don't want to say appropriate to how I actually feel, but it doesn't matter. You feel what you feel.
But I understand what you're saying, because like the situation that I was speaking about, I knew that I was, let's use the word dramatic just for funsies. I knew I was being fucking dramatic, but I also knew that the way I was feeling was very real to me and no logic or solution was going to help that. I just wanted to feel heard and understood. And I think that the problem isn't that men try to give solutions. It's more that women don't feel understood when men come at them with solutions, because it feels like they're trying to fix the problem.
And disregarding your emotion.
And disregarding the emotion rather than trying to understand why you feel that way. Like, it sounds silly to say it out loud, because like,
but it's for real though.
Because it's like, wouldn't you want a solution? Like, I do see the male side of it, but at the same time, it's like,
maybe in a couple days I want a solution, not right this second.
Right.
And can I just say how many fights could be avoided if, and exactly like my partner did in that moment when I was had him pinned on the couch screaming about having my baby, could he have taken that as a moment to be like, what the fuck are you talking about, crazy bitch? Like, no.
Yeah.
Of course. Would that have started a huge fight?
Of course.
Absolutely.
But he saw the emotional side of you that was just looking to be seen and heard and loved.
And loved. And instead of taking that as a chance to start an argument or make me feel stupid or invalidate my feelings, he just said, not what I wanted to hear, but what he knew wasn't going to start an argument that he wasn't even interested in having.
And I think with women especially, or people, anyone that has childhood trauma, abandonment wounds, relationship trauma, any type of issues that have molded them into the person that they are today, a lot of the times, I know for myself at least, I will unconsciously bring something up or talk about a topic to get a response that shows me that I'm loved. Like, I'm seeking for you to love me. And it's not even like a conscious thing, but it's like when you say, like, for example, what you just said, the baby thing. It's because you want to feel like he's like okay with it, because that makes you feel loved and cared about.
Makes me feel like he's invested.
He's invested.
Which after 3 weeks, like,
is crazy.
Why did I want that? I don't know. But like, I've never done that before. I felt something with that guy that was different than I had felt with any other person. Like, I wouldn't just pin down.
No, I know. Well, you're engaged to him.
So just pin down everybody.
Just anybody.
Sound like a crazy ass bitch.
I think the thing about being in a new relationship and having emotional trauma or damage is something that I notice within myself is I will unconsciously seek love and affection by talking about certain topics or asking certain questions. And I'm expecting a certain response when I ask these things or stir the pot in some sense. And when I don't get the response that I'm looking for, I take it really to heart. Like, I get really upset because I'm like, oh, they don't care, they don't love me. Like,
because you expected
I'm almost like prying for them to give me like that validation that I'm too afraid to ask for, because you don't want to have to ask for someone to validate your feelings or like tell you that they love you. Like, you want someone to do it on their own, which they should. But just like when you're feeling a little bit sensitive one day and something's bothering you, and like you could probably get over it on your own, but you bring it up anyways because you want to have them validate you. But then when you're talking to a man and then they get all logical and they try to like,
and then they ruin it,
explain, and then they get frustrated because you're not understanding. Because all you really wanted to hear was, I care about you. You're all that matters. I love you. Like, you're the best, blah, blah, blah. I don't know like an exact situation, but I do know that when you try to meet it with logic, it doesn't help. And I feel like there's such a disconnect between men and women emotionally that it's such an uphill battle. And it's so unfortunate because I feel like
it's just not the same. It's exactly like I talked about with psychology, with the male and the female brain.
Yeah.
How they just do not function in the same way.
Yeah.
And this is actually a psychological study. What you're talking about right now, this is like scientifically studied, is it's called love testing. So people who have been traumatized specifically by their caregivers in early childhood will test their partners in the future so that they can see that they love them, are going to show up for them, are not going to abandon them, are going to stick around. And people will push boundaries, cross boundaries, do things that they wouldn't normally do in a healthy, loving relationship to test their partner to see how far they can push them before they will become abusive, leave, snap, whatever it is. It's people trying to get a reaction, or also trying to get a reaction in the other way. It's like, if I do this, are you going to be loving? If I do this, are you going to be caring? It's a psychological thing that people do subconsciously to make sure that they are picking a partner who is not going to do to them what they experienced in early childhood.
And I think that when you say love testing, it's so real. And we do it without even realizing that we're doing it sometimes, especially when you're traumatized or when you've had bad relationships or you grew up around, you know, divorced parents or, you know, bad home life, like you've never witnessed good, healthy love in your life. You're very likely to test the person you're with to see how much you can put them through before they'll leave you. Like, how worth it are you? Which is so counterintuitive because it's like you're making yourself look less desirable and less worthy by doing these things. But what you're seeking is love and value. And it's really something that I think we have to come to terms with to not do. But if you're with the right person, they'll know you for who you are, and they'll be calm and gentle enough to where the first couple times you love test them, they'll pass the test. Not like it's okay. I'm not condoning testing your partner. I'm just saying it happens without knowledge of it happening. Like, I don't think people are, no, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I don't think most people do it intentionally.
If you're doing it on purpose, you're toxic, bitch. You're toxic.
But if you're able to be self-aware enough to reflect and say like, okay, I am being the toxic person, this person, I've now done this, this, and this, to see if they're gonna react in this way, or see if they're gonna treat me like my ex did because I went out later, see if they're gonna do this or that. And then they pass with, you know, as much flying green flags as they can when you're pushing someone to their limits. And if you are able to work through it in like a healthy way, then I think you have to be able to recognize that maybe you're the toxic one.
Absolutely.
And this is something that I've recently realized. I have been in one really healthy relationship where he was really good to me. We had good communication as far as I'm concerned. Like, I feel like I have a lot of toxic internalized traits from the way I was raised, and I'm working through those every day. Like, I'm more aware of them as I get older because I don't want to be like that. And I noticed that I tend to attract really, really toxic partners. And obviously through experiencing this, you question like, why do I attract this type of person? What is it about me that's attracting this person? Because it is a cycle. You will attract the same type of person until you are completely healed from that and ready to move on.
Until you change something. Yeah, absolutely.
But the biggest trip of your life is when you enter into your first very healthy, normal relationship, and all of a sudden, you're the fucking toxic one.
You're the problem.
Like, you are the problem.
I'm the problem. It's me.
And you know what? I'm not claiming that I've never been the problem, because I definitely contributed to a lot of the problems, but I've not been the sole center of these issues.
Like, you've never been the toxic one.
Right. These toxic traits within myself have been defense mechanisms that I have attributed to protect myself from these horrible people that I've been with.
And then you project that onto somebody who doesn't deserve
and
it.
And then you meet someone that's super healthy and calm and secure and normal, and all of a sudden you're projecting crazy, toxic, insecure. All of the things that your toxic ex was to you, you become. And it is such a fucking mind fuck.
And you've never felt more humiliated, yeah, and more
confused, unlike yourself, embarrassed.
Out of character. That's what I was going to say. Like, it's very wrong. Out of character to act that way. And so love testing obviously seems like something that's pretty toxic, but I think it's something that a lot of people do subconsciously. And it's something that I definitely did in the beginning of my relationship without really even knowing it. I actually didn't even know I was doing it until my therapist clocked me. And she was like, Madison, you're testing the fuck out of this guy. Like, when are you going to stop? How many times is he going to pass until you deem him not
worthy?
I mean, I don't want to say worthy because that sounds terrible, but yeah, I guess. And the thing I have to give to my partner and my advice for the ladies, and the reason that I'm marrying this man, one of the many reasons, is I tested him for 3 months straight, nonstop. I pushed his boundaries. I crossed his boundaries in ways that were toxic. I was the toxic one, which I'm not proud of, right? Because that was never me. It was out of character. It was not a way that I normally acted, but I really cared about this person for the first time in a long time. I actually saw a future with this person, and I tested him and I pushed him. And he looked at me in the face one day, 3 months in, to kind of me on some fuck shit, me on some unacceptable behavior, not like cheating or anything, of course, but just going out and drinking and staying out late and pushing the boundaries of who he was as a person. And he looked at me in the face and he was like, Madison, I see what you're doing. I see that you're testing me because you're afraid. Because you want to see me quit, you want to see me leave, you want to see me yell, you want to see the bad sides of me. And I'm telling you right now that I see you for who you really are. I see that this is not you, and it's not going to work. So stop.
Damn.
I looked at that man in the face, and I was like, what do you mean this isn't me? Like, it's me. I'm toxic. He was like, Madison, I saw you from the day I met you. I've seen you every day since then. This is not you, and I refuse to accept that it is. So the second that you can... Unreal.
Yeah.
The second that you can stop acting like this is what our relationship is, the second we can actually get on with the one that we're supposed to have.
Damn.
Said, okay.
This rock. Well, don't take any advice from me.
My advice is, even if you feel the need to test somebody who's extremely combative and doesn't provide a space for you and doesn't see you for the person who you really are, but sees the front that you're portraying in order to protect yourself, is not your person. And statistically speaking, men are a lot less likely to do this than women just because they're a lot less emotional.
100%. It's for the girls. And speaking of statistics, I have something that I want to ask you that I saw the other day someone ask, and I was like, this is crazy. Okay. What is a random statistic about your life that you wish you knew? I'll give you an example. Mine, I wish that I could see just like a room full of everything I've ever lost. Just put in a room. Cause like you lose shit, you're like, oh my God, that's where that went. Or I didn't even know I lost that.
You never know what you lost.
Yeah.
That's actually, I love that.
Yeah, right?
Because I have these weird, like outlandish thoughts all the time of right? these random fucking things. Like, how would you know what you lost?
Literally.
If you saw a room full of shit that you lost that you never knew you lost.
Right. Crazy. What's yours?
Okay, so I've always had this thought. This is probably an alcoholic thought, but if there was like these huge clear vats filled up with all of the alcohol that I'd ever consumed.
Right.
How much alcohol would it be? And like comparing that to other people, like where does it stand?
Right.
What is the statistic? I've always wondered that.
I've actually had that thought before too, like leaving a bar. Like,
how much alcohol did I consume actually?
I'm like, I wonder if I could see everything I consumed just laid in front of me in my entire lifetime, like what it would look like. And another crazy statistic on that same fact, like the amount of food you've eaten in your life, like in front of you.
Like, how many times have I eaten at Chipotle specifically? Like, fill a vat of Chipotle.
Or like it's tallied up everywhere you've ever eaten.
Funny thought here, we used to go to parties and do like a Sharpie every time.
I don't know what I thought that was.
And we used to go to parties. We used to go to parties and like
just slit our wrist.
Jesus. We used to go to parties and do a tally for every shot we take. Yeah. One morning I woke up and my entire arm had Sharpie up to my elbow. Or it's my elbow. Is that my fucking elbow? Up to my shoulder.
Up to my elbow.
And they were crossed. I'm like, this can't be for real. Where's the VAT? Where's my statistical VAT?
I would actually be more interested in Madison's VAT than my VAT. But another one that I've had. Okay, how many near-death experiences have I had that I'm not aware of?
And you would never know.
Yeah, like something happens, you live, so you don't know you're going to die. I want to know every instance in which I was like this close to having a near-death.
Like the squirrel crossed the road, you braked. That left you 1 second behind and didn't get T-boned and died.
Yeah.
And you'll never know because how could you know what you don't know?
Exactly. You won't.
Fucking bad therapy dropping psychological facts.
I know you guys didn't come here to have your minds blown tonight.
But like,
sorry.
How many people, like if you could put every person in a room that ever thought you were attractive or ever wanted to talk to you or ever like had a thought about you, who would it be? How full would the room be?
Like, just like a giant orgy?
No, literally. Or like if you could ever put into a room like all of your past lovers. Now we're getting deep into the...
Wait, but that's another one.
Like every boyfriend you ever had, like just all...
That's not a statistic.
No, that's just me wanting to cause problems. I can literally
name all of the... Like if anyone is still listening at this point in the podcast, let us know what your statistic is that you would want to know. Because like, I'm curious.
Something you've always wondered, but like you could never realistically know.
Yeah.
It is so fascinating to me.
Like how much pee I've peed in my life. For example. That's
definitely one. How many worms?
How much throw up?
How many worms are
in the ground? How many parasites?
Jesus. How many worms are in the ground? How many worms are in the ground? How many wines have we guzzled on bad therapy? How many
wines? How many worms? I said, how many parasites we've had?
How much pee?
I thought that's the direction you were going.
No, I was thinking like how many earthworms are in the ground?
Probably a lot. There probably is a statistic on that, actually.
Should we fucking Google it?
Hey, Siri. How many earthworms are in the ground at all times?
She's got to think.
It is estimated that a medium-sized garden can contain more than 20,000 earthworms. Wait, hold on. Hey, Siri. How many medium-sized gardens are there in the world?
20,000 worms per garden? So, like, this is the shit that blows my mind. 20,000 worms per garden equals an exponential amount of worms.
Yeah, that's so many worms.
Do you know how many
worms? How is there room for the rest of us?
Like, and that's just per one medium-sized garden.
Yeah.
How many medium-sized gardens? And here we are on bad therapy. We're not talking about relationships anymore.
I was like, oh, you don't want relationship talk? Well, now you get worm talk.
Medium-sized worms, 20,000 of them.
Cheers.
Is this it?
I think this is it. How do we normally end these things? I forgot.
Cheers to episode 34. We're back and we're better, bitches.
We're back, we're badder, and we're back with our baddies.
And we'll see you next week. That was fun. Mm-hmm. I had fun.